Welcome, members of the massively multiplayer multitude, to episode 123 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast. A podcast so easy to follow that even a WoW player can get the hang of it. I'm Tom.
I'm Eric.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Nick.
And tonight, we will be discussing the recent return of three out of four of our podcasting crew to MMORPG gaming, namely to Final Fantasy XIV, a return that I take full blame for because of all of my boosting of the game, and I feel a certain level of satisfaction in the wake of our return, I will admit that now. But before we delve into what's going on in the, I don't even know what the online world's called, Azoria or some crap. The world of Azoria, we will each go on a personal fetch quest into our recent past to find fodder for our weekly geekly update. Eric, you've been kind of AFK for a while. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I kind of have to do like a monthly. I don't know if that's a word, but we're going to go with it. Basically, I have officially started the new position, which has been discussed many times on older episodes, and I'm absolutely loving it, but it does come with a lot of work that I'm not used to. It has come with many a long day, it has come with night trainings and night conducting of workshops for other teachers, which has been part of the conflict. But the biggest conflict, and I feel the need to vent. And then I'm going to touch on two things that were kind of awesome, but first I'm going to vent. So we're going to do bad news first, is that I had to turn in my MacBook that was issued to me by work for a Lenovo Yoga ThinkPad.
Ah, yes.
I couldn't hate this thing more. I know we've discussed like how kind of Apple fanboyish we have been in the past. This cements it. This thing is a nightmare. It is an absolute nightmare. I work on the 12th floor of my building, and I told my boss that they should be grateful that the windows don't open, because this thing would have gone out.
Wow, that is a massive downgrade. Eric, I speak as somebody who was part of a workplace revolution to upgrade us off of ThinkPads and into Macs, so wow.
Oh, no, this is a school board. We don't do things in a forward, progressive direction.
Now, I have to ask you, I've heard of the Lenovo ThinkPad, but what is the yoga version?
This is the genius device where the screen folds all the way around to the back and it becomes a tablet with a touchscreen that doesn't work very well.
Oh, man.
I also want to point out that the screen itself has that feature. I mean, a MacBook screen is glorious. This screen looks like I'm looking at it through an old Chevy headlight. That has been out in the sun and is just foggy.
Ouch.
And has the bonus of now being covered in fingerprints as well, which really helps give it that sheen you're looking for. And then on top of it, the touchpad is unbelievably sensitive, and Lenovo thought, we don't need to make that adjustable. That's going to work just fine. So you inevitably quit programs you don't want to close, open windows you had no idea were going to open. The settings menu likes to just jump at you and surprise you as if it was in Mortal Kombat popping out of the corner to say toasty. It's a disaster. This thing is just awful. And I'm recording on it right now. So if this sounds great, thank Audacity, because it's not Lenovo's fault.
Brian, is there something in our show notes? Can we do like an anti-link to dissuade people from going to Lenovo's site?
I don't think so.
I thought maybe you knew of some HTML technology that I didn't know
about. To take
click
links away, we can hack their site and then, like, redirect, I suppose. But
we can at least do a let me Google that for you of why Lenovo sucks.
We should. You'll get no argument from me, man. So sorry to hear that. What else has been up?
That was the negative. The two positives, and they are really big positives. One, they announced at one of our meetings that, hey, we recently got in a 3D printer, and we need someone to learn this thing so they can teach it to the schools. And out of the group of people sitting there, two hands shot up, and they were both mine. So I now have a 3D printer on my desk that I've been screwing around with for the last 2 weeks, and I want to marry it.
They pay you to do this?
They pay me to do that. They have paid me to basically just learn how it works. So I've been printing Yodas and companion cubes and dinosaur skulls. I'm fine with that.
I hear most 3D printers work way better with a Mac than with a Lenovo.
They probably do. And the reason they do... Oh, this is the other feature. Is I've had to, for the first time in a long time for a laptop, buy a wireless mouse because I've given up on anything that interfaces with the computer that's built in.
Did you 3D print yourself a mouse?
I should have. It would have worked better than anything Lenovo had to offer.
Why don't you 3D print yourself a better computer than a Lenovo? I think you probably could.
You know, the number one request I got when I told people I had access to a MakerBot Replicator 2 was, can you 3D print me a MakerBot Replicator 2?
I would bet you could probably at least print some of the components, some of the less complex, like, non-mechanical stuff, right?
But it got me thinking, too, like, is there inevitably going to be a time when we just have, like, 3D printer inception, where 3D printers, larger 3D printers are just making smaller 3D printers?
Yep, and once they gain intelligence, it's over.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The other awesome, fun job news, and it's all job news lately because it's all I've been doing, is that I've been helping to head the SECME division for Broward County Schools. Now, SECME is basically our science, technology, engineering, and mathematics competitive school competition. I know that's redundant. So basically, there's robotics competitions, there's water bottle launching competitions, it's all engineering competitions, which means that I got to put together some of the stock versions of some of the things the students will be modifying and working with, like a model rocket launcher, and today a cybernetic hand, which works. Brian was listening to me mess with servos earlier. Here they are. Oh. Since this is not a video, you get to listen to servers or servos.
Those sound like servos.
They sound like servos. It's been a blast. Honestly, my job has been nothing but fun, and even when I push into schools to work and assist other teachers, it's been a blast. I love it.
Man, I'm jealous.
Oh, you should be. My only gripe is that I'm only in my office 1 to 2 days a week, which means the 3D printer gets very lonely without me.
Well, I can occupy your office and mess around with that in the meantime. Put me on the payroll.
Yeah, I can make that happen. Sort of. Probably not, but I'll say I can.
Pull those strings. Make it happen, man.
Will do.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that your new job that has sort of forced you to take an involuntary hiatus from us has worked out very well and has only increased your nerd credentials.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and blame all of my absences on Lenovo, just because.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lenovo. We really appreciate it. Does that conclude your update, sir?
That's it for me.
Okay, Nick. Over to you, man.
All right. Well, I'm still on the TV show marathon bit. Right now I'm currently going through Lost. I'm halfway through season 2, so I have to put some kind of restriction because I like staying up till wee hours in the morning watching, like, TV shows, so I think I'm going to take a break on that. As for Ninja Gaiden 2, I mentioned it some time back that I was starting that game. It's kind of at a standstill, but on a positive note, I've kind of upped my weeaboo status. I started listening to Japanese folk / like country music. They call it Enka, so I actually wrote a paper on that some time back. I know it's pretty ridiculous, but there's got to be lonely ways for me to keep up with my Japanese status. And as far as like other games, I've been progressing through Peace Walker, Metal Gear Solid, kind of 3/4 of the way through. I have to say that it's a much better game than Metal Gear Solid 4. More fun, a lot more fun, and a lot more to do. It's just a very interesting game, and it's nice because it's, I believe that game's in a playoff to, or lead up to, Phantom Pain, so looking forward to that. And then finally, I picked up Hyrule Warrior over the weekend, and despite the mixed reviews, I'm really enjoying it. I know a lot of people are saying that it's kind of a button masher, and you just got to kind of take it for what it is. It's not a Zelda game. It's
99 Nights.
It's a Dynasty Warriors game in a Zelda universe. I believe, like you told me, Tom, that it was specifically aimed to be made that way. even like Miyamoto made that mention?
Yeah, if articles on the internet are to be believed, Miyamoto intervened when the makers wanted to take it in a more Zelda-like direction and said, no, I want a Dynasty Warriors game with a Zelda spin on it. I don't want you to make something that's not Dynasty Warriors, or as Brian said, 99 Nights.
So I'm not going to dive too much into it. I'm actually writing an article about it. I'm probably going to make a review for it on my site, so I won't go ahead and plug that, but maybe you guys can feature it sometime. I don't know.
On your site, not on our site?
Well, maybe you can link it from your site to my site.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That would be, I mean, I don't want to impose, but you know, that would be kind of cool.
That would be a little crossover action maybe.
Yeah. Wow. We appreciate that. Thanks.
No problem. But, but.
Were you able to pick out any Japanese folk music elements in the Metal Gear soundtrack?
Unfortunately, no. The Walkman they provide in the game didn't really have that. Didn't really delve too much into that, so it was more of their own little soundtrack. But I wish they had something implemented.
You should suggest it.
I know. Well, considering Kojima releases the game like every 2 years, re-releases the game every 2 years, might as well.
Yeah.
Throw it in the little suggestion box.
Yes, indeed.
But that's all I really have on my end.
I have to share something with Nick real quick, just because I enjoy watching people writhe in self-loathing. Ninja Gaiden 2 is a game that really does make you hate yourself as you play it, because you feel like the worst game player ever as you play it, because the difficulty curve is just absolutely insane.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, and if you want to hate yourself more, there just was released a Chinese player played through Ninja Gaiden 2, not only without losing a life or continuing, without ever getting touched on the hardest possible difficulty.
Oh, you know what? I heard about that, and I didn't even bother looking at that, because I only have a certain skill. Like, when I dove back into it, it was kind of like riding a bicycle, but I was really getting my ass kicked in the beginning. But as you go through the beginning stages of the game, like, you kind of pick things back up, but... And that's only on normal mode, too, by the way, so I could only imagine how the hardest difficulty can be. It's on the levels of, I wouldn't even say that it's Mega Man frustrating, because I think it's on a whole nother level.
It is. It absolutely is. And here's the thing, here's why I wanted to bring it up, because, like, when I watch people play, like, Mario Brothers 3, and they do a run-through in, like, 5 minutes,
yeah,
I'm genuinely impressed, and I go, wow, that was really cool. When I watched this guy playing Ninja Gaiden 2, and doing it without getting touched, my only thought in my head was, you know what, buddy, screw you.
Yes. You've actually piqued my curiosity, then. I'll probably check it after, in a bit, just to get kicks and... see how I feel about it, how crappy I am at it, apparently.
I can't condone acquiring gaming skills of that magnitude. A little too much time probably put in. I'm just going to put that out there as a Tom PSA. Find other stuff to do, guys.
Yeah, that's the old age-old Adam for gamers, or adage for gamers, which is, if I'm better than you, you're a noob, and if you're better than me, you have no life.
Right, and that's a very appropriate adage to bring up, given tonight's topic. But before we get on with that topic, let's continue with our updates. Brian, what have you been up to?
Well, it didn't take much of my week, but it is worth mentioning that I received in the mail last Wednesday, I think, a very nice package from PAX with a Final Fantasy Landmark t-shirt and a... coupon for a game that I'm pretty excited about, but I didn't even know existed. I don't know what to call it either. Shadowgate, like, Revisited?
Yeah, cool.
An old NES favorite in high def, remastered, cool graphics. Very, very cool game.
Now, I want to point out that you said Final Fantasy Landmark, which is awesome.
It is no longer Final Fantasy Landmark, correct? But the t-shirt is, isn't it?
Okay, so just now you slipped again and said Final Fantasy instead of what you should be saying, which is EverQuest.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Excellent. So much has Final Fantasy gained mindshare that you now replace it It is now replacing EverQuest in your mind.
Wow.
I did not even realize that. I thought you were making reference to it not being connected to the IP anymore.
Well, that much is true. Yeah, the person at PAX told me that Landmark is now a standalone thing because, and I think we may have mentioned this, people don't want to play high fantasy necessarily. They want to have, like, rocket ships in the middle of their gnome forest. So, there it is.
Wow.
Yeah, but, cool, yeah, and you, I think you did get a proper EverQuest t-shirt, if I recall, along with that lanyard and that coupon for that game. I figured you'd get a kick out of that game, because that was an NES classic, so let me know what you think. Whoever, I mean, not that I would know anything about it, whoever this PAX person is that sent it to you was a pretty cool guy.
Oh, well, I mean, it was from the show, but yes, it was from you, thank you very much.
Right.
My annual show loot to cons I don't attend, I like that. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, man. Benefits of being in the guild.
God, I feel really rotten saying this, but part of me wants to vent and part of me just wants to share because I think you'll laugh at it. I had the kind of board gaming experience that makes me never want to board game again Thursday night.
Oh, no.
One of our regulars brought this game. And he's like, oh, it's just like another game that we all played and we all love and blah, blah, blah. Nothing like that game whatsoever. It looks kind of sort of similar. Like there's a board and you go around the board with your piece. The similarities in there. So everyone who kind of thought they knew how to play didn't know how to play. He sort of tried to help people learn to play, but not. He couldn't make himself loud enough to be heard over everyone else screaming and asking a million questions. One guy was in the corner playing the game by himself. Oh, I win. I'm going here. I'm doing this. Your turn. With just zero interaction with any of the other of us. And someone who arrived late thinking they could sit down and play just out of nowhere. It was the worst experience I've ever had. And it makes me believe in the Eurogame versus Ameritrash argument. Because everyone complains that American games are designed a certain way. And if that's... It's not really, but if one takes that as a typical American game, it was so poorly designed. It was not even intimidating for a newcomer. It was boring and offensive for a newcomer.
Do I dare ask the name of this game, or are we going to just not speak it to be polite?
I honestly don't even remember. It was a Talisman reskin. You guys have all heard of Talisman?
Yes.
Well, it was the Warhammer 40K version of Talisman. I think it was called Relic.
Hmm. It sounds conceptually cool. Too bad it wasn't fun.
I'm going to have to like do a shot of whiskey before I go this week.
Wow.
Well, don't worry. Soon enough, I'll be back and we'll play the excellent American port of the Euro game, Camel Up.
I am looking forward to playing Camel Up.
Inside joke, Nick and Eric, there is a game being localized for the American audience and we'll link to it in the show notes. But basically, on the box, it's got a picture. It's a camel racing game and it has a big giant C and... At the top of the C is AML, and at the bottom of the C is UP. So, and I made the same mistake. If you read it, you could be taken in pretty easily and made to believe that it was Camel Up. But it is actually Camel Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, I love when they do that. That's just piss poor design.
Well, that mistake has been completely, like, edified now, right, Brian? Because, like, the official listing for the game in the U.S. is Camel Up, isn't it?
Yeah, I think whoever started it just ran with it, and everyone else just looked on their sheets. Oh, Camel Up. Okay, they didn't have the box to look at. So the game's just called Camel Up now.
I find that hilarious for some reason.
You know, if you don't want to go through the process of redesigning a logo, I think the next best thing is just to embrace whatever people think it is.
Well, that's the way they went this time, so it's Camel Up.
Camel Up, the game about camel racing in which you stack camels on top of each other so that one has up on the other, is, sounds like a lot of fun.
A lot more fun than the game called Camel Cup where you're trying to win a cup by racing camels.
Did I mention that neither of those sounds fun?
Give him a chance, Eric. You don't know. It's that or we're going to play this Warhammer thing, or Warhammer 40K or whatever that thing was that Brian just mentioned. So your choice, a Talisman Reed-skin.
Ah, crap.
All right, Brian, anything else?
That's enough.
Sounds like it. Okay. Over to me. I have not been engaged in as many geeky pursuits as I might like. I moved recently into a smaller apartment here in Seattle, Washington. In other words, from a small micro house to a smaller micro house. And the only really geeky thing, or there were two kind of geeky takeaways from that. One, I never thought I would see the day when I was impressed by cleaning technology, but I was like totally geeking out and researching this thing after I use it just on a whim. Have any of you ever used the Mr. Clean magic eraser to clean anything?
It is the greatest invention of our time. It's phenomenal.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Like, I want to know the science behind it. I don't know how it works, and I'm almost certain I'm going to get hand cancer from having handled this thing because it works so well.
There's no logic to why it works as well as it does. When you look at the thing, you're like, what? It's just a white, crappy sponge.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
They totally could have filmed an infomercial for it in my house. Like, oh, boy, I'm never going to get these stuck-on stains off my walls and surfaces.
There's got to be a better way.
Now there is. And then Mr. Clean shows up and just hands me one of those.
Yeah. Actually, we have Promethean boards. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Promethean board. It's a smart board, like a smart whiteboard. You are not supposed to use markers on it. Uh-oh. However, inevitably, every substitute teacher uses markers on the freaking thing. And the solution to that is Mr. Clean Magic Eraser. It is literally the only thing that will get that thing sparkling white without ruining it.
Amazing. It's next generation nanotech, I'm positive. Anyway, so the Mr. Clean Magic Eraser. And then I had to go stay in a hotel because I wasn't allowed to move into my new place. There was this whole snafu with moving out of the old place into the new one that ended up not being a snafu, but by that time I'd already reserved the hotel, so I just figured I'd treat myself to a night in a hotel. I went down to the Queen Anne portion of Seattle. Nice part of town. And as I was getting on the bus to head back home today, I walked past a theater and happened to see a sign for an anime movie called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Patima or Patima Inverted, which sounded kind of cool. So I am probably going to go see that tomorrow. They've got a dub showing and two subtitled showings. And so I, just like that, based on a mundane thing like moving, now have a new adventure to embark upon tomorrow.
I really hope you're going to the subtitle showing and not the dub showing.
I don't want to read, man. Come on.
I know we've done this episode in the past about, for the most part, my loathing of everything dubbed.
Yeah, you know, part of me wants to go to the dub and then turn around and go into the sub just to compare. But if the movie sucks, I don't want to sit through it twice and have my only showing that I could sit through be the dubbed one. So, I don't know.
Well, do it the other way around. That way you can remark about how much worse the dubbed version is as it's happening.
then I could be like the this is terrible, like guy in the theater.
Yep.
But maybe they'll call rice balls hamburgers, or
what, do they do that in like Ninja Scroll or something?
No, they do that one in Pokemon all the time. All of the snack treats, which are blatantly like Asian things, they're always like the triangular rice ball wrapped in nori, and they always call it like a hamburger or donut.
Nice.
Wow. This is a great enchilada, Pikachu. let's see. So apart from that, I got Hyrule Warriors, but haven't gotten to play it yet because obviously I was moving. I've been trying to squeeze in a little portable gaming here and there. And, of course, prior to the move, having a great time playing an MMORPG for the first time in a long time. And this brings me to tonight's topic, that MMORPG being Final Fantasy XIV. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that that is a fairly well executed MMORPG, and it really helps that it's set in a Final Fantasy setting.
Oh, I think it's horribly executed. It's a cool game, but like the interface and the system are
That's what I was waiting for.
I can't agree with you there.
I think it's fine. Like, I guess maybe it's definitely not WoW refined, right? Is that what you're kind of saying, or?
It's not like Windows Bob refined.
Wait a minute. I don't have really much of an issue with it. Like, what's going on?
I want to throw out real quick that I'm the only person who hasn't played it. And I was going to say, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you guys to sell me on this. And Brian, in about 3 seconds, has already got me going, I'll look for something else. It's fine.
Don't listen to Brian.
Yikes.
Well, at least hear us out, because we are all still playing it and enjoying it. So, Brian, I'd like to...
I like the game. I enjoy the game. You should probably come hang out with us or whatever, but it is... I don't understand. Are they masochist? Like, do they just not like us? Do they do that to themselves? I mean...
Okay, explain. What is it that's troubling you?
Okay, so what level are you?
20. Or thereabouts. 22, 23, something like that.
A little less than halfway through the game. Well, through the leveling process, which we all know it takes longer at the end, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Considering the curve. Have you learned how to dye your armor yet?
I didn't even know you could do that. No, I haven't.
No, because it's unlocked until you do a quest at, like, level 35 or something like that. It's the most mundane thing. I want blue armor instead of green, but it is, like, some huge secret that has to be unlocked through the system of dye. There's a system for everything. A Moogle appeared. You are the chosen one. You know how to use a mailbox. And there was a half an hour tutorial about how to use a mailbox.
Wait a minute, though. It's Final Fantasy. It's a series famous for its quote-unquote systems, is it not?
I wanted to play 6, not Mystic Quest.
Ooh. Ouch.
Ouch. You know what? I will take this restriction of dying over Final Fantasy XI, the last MMORPG iteration's restriction of, like, riding an airship or a chocobo or doing anything remotely fun. But, okay, your point's taken. There are a lot of systems, but I kind of like that. I mean, I think there, even if you hit the level cap for adventuring, there's a lot of different stuff to do and perfect.
Once you're level 50, you can unlock the express mail option.
Are you joking?
I hope so.
Okay, so a little unwieldy, perhaps. Definitely not as simple as WoW. That's for sure, and not as streamlined. So if that's your Eric, I don't know if you ever played WoW, but if that's your kind of point of reference, that kind of tells you maybe where we're at with Final Fantasy XIV.
You know, I played WoW briefly, and I will say it's the one MMO that I played that definitely, I don't want to say simplified, but streamlined the things that would be normally mundane and annoying in every other MMO. And it's one of the things that usually bothers me about the genre as a whole, is that what they think is freedom by giving you infinite options and infinite possibilities that aren't really infinite possibilities, because 99% of them suck. What they're really doing is handcuffing you without realizing it.
That's a pretty grim appraisal, I think, Eric. And I want to get Nick's point of view. Are we handcuffed? Do you think that there's a little too much going on in Final Fantasy XIV?
If you're going to put it like that, I would say yes, there is. I mean, there's only so much I can focus on in that game. And it is a little... I mean, oh my god, we're really coming down on it from the get-go. But it's, you know, it does have those particular flaws, but it also, you know, it has its enjoyable moments as well.
Saying that it's in a Final Fantasy world pretty much covers it for me. Unless my keyboard is stabbing me in the fingers with tiny little needles while I play, I'll play a Final Fantasy.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of like, I think it being Final Fantasy and being a passably good game, unlike the previous iteration of it, which was before the A Realm Reborn reboot, that alone makes up for a lot. Like, seeing creatures from the Final Fantasy sort of bestiary, if you will, does a lot for me. And just, like, playing classes I'm familiar with and just all the familiar concepts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that I'm just, like, a shameless Final Fantasy fan, so that really takes the takes away, or I should say blunts the rough edges for me in a lot of cases.
Is there anything positive you want to add to it, like besides it being Final Fantasy, like Final Fantasy E? That makes sense.
Yeah. Apart from it being, you know, Final Fantasy, I've played on a kind of crummy laptop and then switched over to playing on the PS3, and it plays pretty well on a console. Obviously, the chatting is slowed down because you got to use the software keyboard. But apart from that, once I mapped all my controls, it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, once you mapped them, it was kind of... they didn't really hold your hand and show you how to go about that, putting your, getting the hotkey going on for your PS3.
Yeah, that was my fault. I should have spent the time before we were going to go on a dungeon raid or whatever, figuring that out. But once I did, it was pretty cool. Let's see, apart from that, like, I have fun playing the game. Like, I've yet to have a session playing with you guys where I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, I enjoy the combat. It works well. I enjoy playing with friends. And I believe it or not, I actually enjoy the gathering and crafting, which is something I've never enjoyed in any MMORPG.
Yeah.
Brian, I know you were speaking highly of the gathering and or the crafting, right?
I'm not a huge fan of the gathering.
Hmm.
So because of the job system, you have to take off your level 50 armor and level 50 Excalibur plus sword and equip like a level 2 mining axe. And you're completely defenseless. If a monster attacks you, you chink away. Tink! Tink! Even though you've tanked Ifrit or Bahamut in your other...
You gotta, like, hotkey your class change, bro. So, like, immediately upon getting attacked, run away.
But you can't change class if you're in combat. So if you get jumped, your only option is to, like, haul ass.
Well, you gotta flee. Yeah, you gotta flee. And then, like, you come back and, like, clear out the gathering zone and win.
So the level 50 tank flees from the level 3 Cactar so that he can pick up a copper ore that's lying on the ground.
Well, yeah, because he's mining right now. He's not being a level 50 warrior right now, or whatever you said.
But the crafting is a lot more fun. No real complaints about that. There's a lot of interdependency, which makes it hard, but that's not really a complaint. That's cool. You know, you got to have like that player economy where weavers buy from alchemists, and I get it. That's cool.
Yeah, man, I like it, and I also like that. I feel like my own trade skills overlap, like, because I am gathering wood to do the woodworking, and then I actually can make, like, weapons that even I can use, never mind just selling them. I kind of dig that, man. I don't know.
Have you guys checked out the economy, like, the market
yet? I'd love to ask that. Yet. Can you guys use the auction house yet?
Yes. Yeah, I thought I was using it the other day.
You can sell on the auction house?
Oh, can I sell? No, I can buy. You have to be a certain level to sell?
Yep, you have to complete a certain quest.
Holy fuck. Oh my goodness, yikes.
But that's good, they make you earn stuff, man. It's awesome. I think I unlocked some mundane skill the other day, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, you unlocked being able to look for a party. Remember?
Oh, that's right, the group party.
Oh my god, yeah. Yikes.
Eric, are we selling you or are we, like, unselling you at this point?
You know, you're proving a theory that I've had for a long time. And again, I can only speak in generalizations because I haven't played the game. But I'm convinced that every Japanese A-list title, and this is an A-list title because it's got the Final Fantasy name on it, it's as if the developers were like, we're going to make the most perfect game ever. And in order to do so, we have to totally botch one thing about the game completely. Like, for example, I love Monster Hunter. I love the series. I hate the control scheme so much, yet I suffer through it because the game is good. And I enjoy, like, the, you know, making the armor or upgrading things. Or I love all that stuff. The game is great. I love battling giant monsters. I love the co-op features that are involved. I can't stand the control scheme to save my life. I feel the same way about Resident Evil. I feel the same way about Metal Gear for the most part. Actually, with Metal Gear, the control scheme is totally doable. It's the story. They were like, oh, we should just totally mess with this.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. I found Metal Gear's story completely easy to comprehend and follow.
But do you guys not see this trend in Japanese games, especially the A-list titles, where they're like, we're going to make a flawless game, but it seems like we're going to intentionally just mess up this one part?
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, those, like, there's some controls that could be completely flawed. Like, you mentioning Monster Hunter, I think the early Resident Evils were so, like, they were so clunky. It was like, it was almost like tank-like controls. But
yes,
you love the series enough that you learn to use it, and it actually, you find no flaw in it. And I find that kind of funny how that works.
You know, Monster Hunter never got better for me controllers. I love the games, but they never got better. I even went so far for my 3DS to buy the additional thumbstick that snaps onto the 3DS, thinking, because it was the first game it worked for, I was like, oh, two thumbstick control, this is going to be significantly better. It made no difference. None.
I've been saying this a lot lately. God help you if you're new to the series.
To Final Fantasy?
No, just to Monster Hunter, to Final Fantasy, to anything Japanese. You're either a lifelong fan or there's no chance you're breaking in.
I think my take on this is that, I don't know how to put this just the way I want to. I think certain things are understated because it's assumed. It's assumed that you're going to know what you're doing or that you're going to put in the work to figure it out on your own. Like, I think a lot of what we're complaining about with Final Fantasy XIV, though, might be them trying to hold your hand. Like, well, obviously you're not going to want to get involved in, like, finding groups until you understand what that entails. Like, I think they're trying to hold your hand.
Hold your hand. It's more like holding your pocket. Jeez.
Actually, I think they have you on one of those little kitty leashes.
But yeah, I get what you're saying, Tom.
It's hard for me to defend Monster Hunter. I really want to play it with people too, by the way. That game has always struck me as really obtuse. And was that not the game where, like, there was an actual hand position that people, they had a name for the position your hands had to be in to play optimally?
Yeah, you had to basically make a claw.
Yeah, it was the claw. That's right.
It was the claw, and you had to have your thumb on the control stick and with your forefinger, like, have it up on some of the buttons just to control. And mind you, that was just to control your motion. That had nothing to do with the actions of the character.
Wow.
Well, I'll put that in a win for Final Fantasy, then. There's no claw grip needed to play the game.
On a totally different line, my love for Monster Hunter, and someone and I discussed this once, comes from the fact that I'm a vegetarian, and even things like the deer hunting that's digital is kind of too much for me. Because I'm like, it still kind of promotes deer hunting. But I can get all of my hunting thrills in Monster Hunter without really killing anything that's, one, real, and two, even remotely resembles a real animal. Plus, I get to do it as, like, a crazy samurai, which is kind of nice.
You would hate Final Fantasy. Every class has a job, or I'm sorry, every class has a log of things they're supposed to hunt.
Yes, the hunting log.
The hunting log, and every class is different. So these schmucks didn't tell me that no one was playing a tank or a healer. And I guess no one knew that if you have three friends to play the game with, fuck you, okay? Because you're not allowed to do that.
So which class is it that hunts Lenovo ThinkPads?
I'm going to go with the Lancer.
Because I'll play as that one. I will hunt the crap out of this computer.
The things you have to hunt are the most adorable, doe-eyed, innocent-looking creatures in the game.
Oh.
I have to go out and slaughter Bambi for extra experience.
Just going on like a Care Bear murdering rampage.
And there's no reason either. They're not even aggressive. They like walk up to you and cuddle around you. Well, sorry, but you're worth 500 experience if I murder three of you.
Now, does it look like actual murder, or do they just kind of explode into coins?
No, you have to fight them. I mean, it's slow and torturous.
But I mean, like, do they do, like, a horrible death sequence? Like, Monster Hunter, when you kill a monster, it does, like, the attempting to win an Oscar badly kind of death, you know, animation.
It's like roar and collapse, right?
Yeah. Slowly. In slow motion.
Nah, these don't poof, but they just kind of fall over dead.
Okay.
I haven't had to kill any Moogles yet, though. That should be worth something. Eric, I don't want to, like, put you off. So, what creatures would you... What famous Final Fantasy creatures would you not want to hunt? All right, in fact, no. Let me throw some out there and see if these would be deal breakers. How would you feel about hunting a Cactar?
Well, that's like a plant, so it's okay. That's kind of vegetarian.
Okay, good. That's good to know. How would you feel...
Wait, murdering sentient plants is vegetarian?
Yeah, they're plants.
They're plants. It's fine.
It's not the sentience that bothers you.
Not only are they plants, they're douchebag plants that I can't touch. So...
Are you allergic to cactars?
No, but everyone's kind of allergic to grabbing a cactus, I thought, you know, so...
yeah, good point. How would you feel about hunting for, I'm trying to think of these cute creatures now. I mean, apart from the cactars, what's cute that you have to hunt to fill your hunting log with?
Wait, do you have to hunt chocobo, or is that like you get to
no,
ride chocobo?
You ride chocobos, and they're cute.
Okay.
Certain things are sacred.
I actually have a fat chocobo mount that I can't ride yet because I haven't done the necessary quest to be able to use a mount.
Oh, I thought maybe you had to level up before you could put your chocobo on a diet. Like,
no, I can't. I can't wait to ride my fat chocobo, but I don't know how many quests we are removed from gaining that rare skill.
Soon enough.
What else is cute and cuddly that Eric might not want to hunt, though?
Well, let me ask you this question while you were on the chocobo riding thing.
Okay.
The skills that you have to gain,
mm-hmm.
The system that's in place for you to gain that skill, does it at least make sense in reference to said skill? Like, to ride a chocobo mount, do you have to do some kind of mount riding training to earn that skill?
I don't know. From what I gather, I just have not joined one of the grand companies in the game and been given, like, permission to ride a mount. So I'm like Samus Aran in Metroid Other M, waiting for, like, permission to use my abilities.
So let me I'm really being negative lately. Let me pick on the game a little bit. So even though you have been riding rented chocobos since, like, about level 5, you own a chocobo, you're not allowed to ride it.
That is some government crap right there.
I own the ability to summon a chocobo, but I technically don't own the chocobo yet. What is the story justification for not letting us ride mounts yet?
I don't know. I haven't done the quest. I'm not high enough level.
Did Rick Scott design the game? Because, by the way, for those listening out of state, Rick Scott is Florida's governor who does everything out of line. And Tom loves him. Tom is in love with the man.
He's my favorite. It's not like I'm planning my trip home from Seattle in time to vote for no reason or anything. Like,
No. Okay, he's a nightmare. And two of the laws he put in place were, one, if you have solar panels on your house, and this may be way off topic, but if you have solar panels on your house, you still have to be, you're forced to be attached to the Florida Power and Light grid. So you are not allowed to make your own power, and you're not allowed to collect rainwater at all. It's illegal to collect rainwater. So this is where I'm going, that if he designed the game, he would have said, you can rent our mounts and ride them all you want, but if you own your own, that's not street legal.
Wow. I mean, maybe Rick Scott was a consultant in the designing of this game. To make people need you, disempower them systematically.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Brian, what do you think about that? You think maybe somebody of our illustrious governor's mindset might have been involved in the design of this game?
I doubt that's likely, but it is probably to make them continue their subscription, string them along with the thing that they want.
So, in other words, yes.
Not him personally.
Yeah, not someone personally. I was just kind of asking somebody maybe who he might enjoy golfing with.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you hunt a few cute creatures, Eric. That's not a big deal. There is definitely... They have a different kind of spin on the grind. I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and point out WoW, which I was playing until recently. WoW gives you stuff and gives you stuff and gives you stuff and gives you stuff. But at a certain point... What's better, to work for and earn, like, significant milestones, or to just be handed stuff and have it be meaningless because it's nowhere near as good as the stuff you're going to be handed 5 levels from now? Like, there's really no way of getting around the fact that we're playing an MMORPG and you're on that treadmill, right?
Well, in WoW, they gave you so much stuff. Like, there's endless amounts of things you can inventory. And, let's be honest, 90% of it is used by nobody. Ever.
Mm.
It's just stuff to collect. Like, it's just... no one ever uses certain spells or whatever. if you told me that the system in place in Final Fantasy was kind of handcuffing and that they were kind of, you know, stringing you along to each skill, but everything you get has some genuine usefulness to it, then that's kind of better.
So I believe you are correct. I don't think I've seen anything drop that could not be used by one of the crafts. Like, not a single thing that was just like, oh, this is a bauble, sell it for money.
Right, so you see, it's a very tightly designed game. Like, nothing's done for no purpose.
See, that I like.
And that includes just running off to hunt. Like, you will find useful items on the animals and the monsters that you fight.
And to go on about the grind, the environment is pretty active. Like, the fate quests, where a particular quest activates in a certain area of the map, and if you are the level that you need to be for it, if you're at the same level of the quest or higher, if you're higher, you get level synced down to the right level of whatever the quest is, and, you know, having the community come together to finish these quests, and then you get experience, not too much gil, but it kind of helps. It takes away the grind a little bit.
I want to go back to Tom's point about the hunting actually yielding positive items, like things you can actually use. Is that to suggest that if they made another South Park episode where they decided to hunt boar to level up, it would actually work in this game, whereas we know in WoW it actually would never work?
Oh, they could have just sold everything off the boars and bought the Sword of Five Wishes or whatever.
Sword of a Thousand Truths?
Sure.
Actually, yeah, I guess you would gain crafting materials sufficient to amass a fortune if you did it long enough in Final Fantasy, yes.
As long as I get Hot Pockets.
God, that episode was so good. I actually should mention that I have been going through the entire South Park catalog. I'm all the way up to like season 14 or 15 now, and that still stands out as one of my favorite episodes.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. But South Park stands out in my mind as one of the very rare shows that has had an extremely long run and keeps getting better.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Like, The Simpsons has recently made kind of a turnaround and is getting better again. But yeah, from season, like, 8 or 9 to season 20 was a nightmare.
That's like a decade of seasons. That's pretty sad.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, let's get back on topic, though. Final Fantasy XIV, I would also add...
Everywhere that you walk has really great music, by the way. Like, if you're a, like, video game music buff, like, I haven't been disappointed anywhere I've been walking.
Right, I wanted to mention that, too. We didn't even get into, like, the graphics, art style, and sound, all of which are awesome. They're on par with Final Fantasy, in my opinion. Like and I'm sorry, but the audiovisual experience matters a lot to me, and... WoW's art style was kind of cool at first, but now seems a little bit primitive. And I keep bashing on WoW just because that is like the benchmark standard for MMOs. The music in WoW never really did much for me. Like, it was just kind of ambient for the most part, I think. And am I wrong in that impression?
No, I think that's right. But also, I think Final Fantasy had a lot to live up to in that sense, because it's a series that's synonymous with good soundtracks.
Yes. Absolutely. And Brian, I think you did yourself exclaim the other day while we were playing that the game is just beautiful, right? I mean, you admitted as much.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful, and it feels like a Final Fantasy, and the music is astounding. There were a few places where I was just like, wow, this is a great, great track.
I believe Uematsu, like, had his hand in on that game, and probably a couple other people as well, so it goes to show that it... You know, definitely had the right sources. But also what do you guys think of the gameplay itself? I think it's fine. Like, as far as, like, fighting and such?
As I mentioned before, mechanically, I think the game's sound. Like, I've had no problems either with keyboard and mouse or controller at this point.
I don't love it. It's pretty good.
But if you're going to do anything advanced, since you assholes made me be the tank, it's not the most intuitive thing. Like, I was keybinding earlier, and there's, I think, like, 8 different ways to cycle your target. And even being a tank and even having a need to cycle targets, I cannot fathom why there would be 8 ways to cycle them. And I feel kind of
ignorant. Like, I must be missing something if there's eight ways to move from, you know, this guy to the next guy. I must be doing it wrong if I'm only moving from this guy to the next guy.
Maybe they're just options, because I know this was kind of key when I was mapping for the PlayStation 3 controller. I actually looked up different ways people were mapping things, and some people, like, had a whole different set of mappings for when their weapon was drawn and not, so that, like, in combat, they would only target enemy combatants. They would never, like, be cycling through non-combatants and that sort of thing. So maybe they wanted to give you, and I don't know if each of those ways you mentioned are customizable, Brian, but maybe that's the idea. They wanted to give you maximum flexibility for how you wanted your UI to behave.
Why would you target a non-combatant in combat, though? Why don't you just make it when your sword's drawn, you can't target people not fighting?
I think perhaps if you're a healer, maybe? Like, so, again, now, with a healer, I'd want to be able to target my party members as well as enemies if I was doing combat. But as a lancer, like, I'm not healing anybody, dude. I just want to fight enemies, right? That's just what I know based on having only scratched the surface, though. I'm trying to play, like, redundant control schemes advocate here.
If you ignore it, it doesn't really affect the game, so it's not, like, a huge drawback to it. It's just trying to understand it, I don't.
Hmm. There might be hidden systems that we don't yet understand, Brian.
There could be.
We're going to get the Master Controller achievement.
At level 49, we'll have the Keybind quest.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. I want to go back to something we spoke about a minute ago. Nick mentioned these world events that pop up. And if you are too high for them, you can choose to sink your level down. So basically these renowned monsters will appear and you take part in these events and you get, like, experience and so on for doing them. I just want to point out that Final Fantasy XIV, a game that's been out for a while, has had this in place long before Destiny. And that's one of the things people go on and on about with Destiny is its world events.
Yeah.
So there you go. Destiny totally bit that off of Final Fantasy. If we take nothing else away from this conversation, let it be that.
That'll do.
I'll use this opportunity to speak about why do they hate us yet again. And I played Sony games when they were brand new. I played EverQuest in 1999. So I'm used to the company hating me. But I did a fate recently where you get 15 minutes to kill a monster. And usually, it's pretty good experience, so tons of people show up to do it. And usually the monster's kind of badass, so if you're level 10 and he's level 8, you're going to need a good healer to stay alive and some decent DPS to get him down. It's not trivial. Well, I came across one, and I just have no idea. There were like 20 people there, just beating on him. Everything was under control. There was no challenge whatsoever. A tank had solid aggro. The cleric was healing constantly. Heal, 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 heal. And the DPS were just whacking away for... It was about 13 minutes. And I just don't understand why he had a billion hit points when, like, 100,000 would have done it. There was no challenge. There was no encounter. There was stand there and auto attack for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was the challenge. That was. And by the way, Eric, fate is what the world events are called. The name was escaping me. But this creature did not escape an epic beating, it sounds like. So that was the whole point, Brian. You had to fight this hardy enemy and take him down. And only through determination could you persevere.
I guess that was the stick with it achievement.
Yes, it was indeed. So, speaking of sticking with it, and I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Eric joins us. We've done such a great job selling this game.
Need a healer.
we need a healer.
Yeah, and let me tell you how that's... Not only have you sold me, but I was just going to say, all I want to do is be a healer.
Actually, I am contemplating taking that role on myself because I've never been a healer and we do desperately need that. And you can switch jobs, so no skin off my back if I don't need to do my healing all the time.
I've noticed that no one gets yelled at more than healers. Nobody.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, you're going to be playing with us. We won't yell at you. Us and maybe God of Tanking if we encounter him again. But, yeah, speaking of sticking to it and all of us wanting to play long-term, I wanted to share, and I might let Brian share because he tends to be better at describing this sort of stuff, a cautionary tale, a cautionary event that happened when Brian and I were running a dungeon. You have so many dungeons you need to run in order to complete the main quest line. So I think you could join a grand company. Well, we're in a dungeon with a tank and a healer. And whichever one of the players was in charge of saying, okay, let's move on, suddenly went missing. Right, Brian?
There's so many missed opportunities. We were playing happily with Nick, our third DPS, when we got the quest, but we couldn't possibly do anything with three DPS because you can only have four party members and one of them has to be a tank. Has to be a tank. The game won't let you do it unless there's a tank. And one of them has to be a healer. The game won't let you do it unless one of them is a qualified healer. So three DPS, three friends who just want to play the game and enjoy it? Screwed.
Yeah, the way it seems to work is they have different systems of parties and dungeons. So initially, like from level 15 to like, I guess, 49 and 50... You can only have a light party, which consists of four players, and apparently it's going to be static to that particular four players. Then there's probably about 12 dungeons for the end game, and then there's full party dungeons that are only available at level 50, and that consists of 8 players, and then there's raid dungeons that consist of 24 players, probably about, I believe, 2 of them, and again, these are level 50. So more than that, I would say like about a third of the dungeons throughout your questing has to be done in this light party setting.
Okay.
Of four players.
Okay, and because of that, we had to split up. So Brian and I were running this dungeon and Nick couldn't play with us. And I think Nick had logged off already, so we were going to run this second dungeon.
We deceitfully waited for Nick to get tired.
I knew it. Ah, oh, you sons of bitches.
The game's punishing us for playing a certain type of player of a character. So anyway, in we go, and our fearless leader, the tank, suddenly just doesn't like advance. I mean, you only have so much time to run the dungeon, so we're getting concerned, right, Brian?
Yeah, he was gone for like 7 minutes, and the healer was kind of like, "What's going on? I don't really know." Well. The tank, I guess a message popped up on all of our screens. I guess if you're completely inactive for 10 minutes, it assumes you've given up. And then it just says, like, if you're inactive for 5 more minutes, we're just canceling the dungeon and you fail. So at the 10-minute mark, it made a little noise, bing, and the message popped up, 5 more minutes and you're done. Tank comes back on. Give me a few minutes, guys. My chair broke.
I am not kidding you. I was on Skype with Brian, like, chatting, and we were both, like, speechless. Like, I have not cried to the point of tears in a long time, and, like, at once, every stereotype about the MMORPG just came rushing back.
Like, yeah, there's the stereotype that it's like the slovenly fat guy always. I mean, that is, I mean, even the episode that we were talking about, the, you know, Make Love Not Warcraft episode, you know, paints them immediately turning into that stereotype. So the fact that he slowly was like, my chair broke, is just so perfect.
It really was. And like, so... gales of laughter, and I just can't stop laughing. And so finally, I calm down. And then Brian quips, "Dude, one too many Cheetos." And then I just start again, like, because now I'm picturing like he ate the critical mass Cheeto, and that was it. The chair was like, "Nope," it just collapsed.
You know, to take this in a similar direction, we used to get together, a bunch of us, to play Halo and Halo 2 via LAN before the playing online craze really kicked off. And even though Halo 2 was online, we really just enjoyed the LAN experience. You didn't have to worry about who you got hooked up with online, and you knew who you were playing with, and there was something fun about yelling at the person who was actually right next to you. So we would get a bunch of TVs together and a bunch of Xboxes, and we play Halo 2. So our friend Cliff is sitting in another room. We have a switch in the middle with a bunch of long Ethernet cables. And they're wearing headsets anyway, just so we can hear each other from the other room. And all of us at the same time hear this creaking noise come through. And we hear our friend Anthony go, "What was that?" And Cliff goes, "I don't know." And then 5 seconds later, you hear the loudest crash we've ever heard, followed by uncontrollable giggling. So we all just gave up, and we're like, okay, what the heck broke in the other room? And we go in there, and Cliff is sitting now on the floor, because he was sitting on an old wooden, like, kitchen table chair. He's sitting on the floor in what is just a pile of kindling at this point.
Wow.
Just hysterically laughing. The chair literally turned to splinters. Like, the whole thing just fell apart. It just gave up.
That's pretty much what I envision happening. And I know Cliff. I think most of us have met Cliff. He's not a big guy. Like, he's not a giant-sized guy. So if that could happen to him, imagine a person who has spent years playing MMORPGs.
Right. Like he's a thick guy, but he's not gargantuan, you know.
Right, right. Like,
he's ambulatory.
Yeah.
The thing that killed me about this guy's comment was the nonchalant way he, like, "Sorry, guys, chair broke." Like, oh, that again. Like, he just, his chair broke, he swept it up and, like, pulled the next one off the stack.
Yeah, Cliff had the decency to immediately find the humor in it. Like, he was the one laughing at himself more than anything else.
I don't know if this guy was laughing at himself, but we were certainly laughing at him. you know, it occurred to me, I hope that this guy didn't mean like his chair broke, like he was a person bound in a chair and we were laughing at like a wheel breaking.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's
yeah, the only thing that would make that worse is like if in the newspaper you read that like some guy in a wheelchair killed himself and he wrote his suicide note in Cheeto powder like on the wall.
Oh gosh, they were laughing at me.
It was a good tank.
We did go on to complete the dungeon successfully, though, so that probably only further cements this person being, like, a total committed, like, South Parkian MMO player.
You know, the alternative to this isn't any better, which is he had one of those ultimate gaming chairs, like, that has the speakers and the vibration and stuff built in, and it's working, and he was like, "My chair broke.
Dude, I'm not playing without my speakers."
I was thinking maybe one of the Mountain Dew bladders like sprung a leak or something.
Oh, like the beans were falling out of his beanbag.
Right. Oh gosh. Anyway, I thought that as we are getting more and more into the game and vowing we weren't going to get like sucked in and be like addicts, and like I was like, yeah, we'll just play one night a week. I thought that was a pretty good sort of cautionary tale, like, hey guys, just remember, you've all been here before. This is where this could lead.
Stop playing now, eat an apple, go get some sleep.
Yeah, and take a walk in the morning when you wake up.
Yeah.
Chair broke shouldn't be something uttered nonchalantly. It's an exceptional event.
Chair broke, yeah. Keep going, I got this down to a science.
That's literally one step away from calling in fat to work.
Calling in fat! Hey boss, yeah, chair broke. I'm done. I'm done. I'm on disability.
Can't get out the door. Shouldn't have double sized last night.
Shouldn't have double sized. Oh, God. So anyway, there it is. Eric, we invite you to play with us. We welcome you to play with us. We invite any and all of our listeners to play with us.
Yes, to join the Field, what's it called? Field Company?
It's called Free Company.
Free Company. To join the Free Company, I was promised.
Hey, I'm ready to set that up whenever. We can call it Chair Broke if you want.
Call it Be Right Back. Chair Broke.
Little did you know, yes. You have to be level 90 before you set up Free Company.
I wonder about that, actually. I'm sure it's something that's crazy expensive. But I'm thinking of buying a bunch of gil from the Chinese gold farmers that are all my friends now, just so I can, like, have, like, a house and a free company and everything.
It does depress me just a little bit that the very first tell I got in-game was $3 for a million gil, or $150 to level to level 50.
Man, it costs that much? $150?
I guess.
Wow. They just, like, sign into your account and play for you while you're not around, or what?
They probably, like, group with you or something. I don't know. I would not trust any service that wanted access to my account.
Yeah. That'd be kind of awkward. I wouldn't know what to chat with them about. Like, so, how's, you know, China doing? I don't think I could do that. Oh, man. Okay, so I think we've kind of given a pretty good overview of Final Fantasy. We've done a job of selling it. I won't say we did a good job. And we have ended on a properly moderating note from which this episode will gain its title, Chair Broke. But dear listeners, one thing you don't have to be cautious about is being too sucked into the Nerdstravaganza podcast. It's a podcast that can be enjoyed at your leisure, at your pace, and does not require guild membership and a huge commitment of time for rating. All that it does require is that you listen. And the best way to do that is to either subscribe to us through iTunes or whatever other podcatching software you happen to use, or to check us out on a streaming service such as Stitcher. And we, of course, welcome any and all positive reviews, stars, plus ones, chocobo pins, whatever that you might want to give.
Or if you prefer, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, plus one us on Google+, and join our exclusive Facebook group, the Nerdstravaganza HQ, or join our Hunting Link Shell on Exodus server.
Feel free to drop us a line at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And for any other fix, go ahead and check out nerdstravaganza.com.
And until next time, may all your fantasies be final.